Well, good morning, everyone. It's so nice to see each one of you here this morning. What a lovely, lovely service. Have you not been preached to already this morning, brothers and sisters, from these songs and these scripture readings and these truths from the Word of God about the resurrection? I do just want to say thank you to all those who participated this morning in this lovely service, this lovely time of singing and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. What a lovely time we've had. So happy Easter. The Lord indeed is risen today, as we have sung and declared over and over this morning. What a day of celebration, a day of triumph this is intended to be, and we declare it as such. We sang, up from the grave he arose in mighty triumph, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor, and he lives forever. These are facts that we here who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we hold to be true. We read them in the Bible, and as we have been discussing the last couple of weeks as we've gone through our new series, the Word of God is our authoritative text, and we trust it entirely. We understand it and believe it to be the inspired, inerrant Word of God for us. And so, while there are external and internal evidences to the factual, truthful nature of scriptures, it is not my intent this morning to offer an apologetic defense of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the foundational truths that we, as believers in the Lord Jesus, say are unbreakable. The virgin birth, the deity of Christ, Christ's atonement for sin, his crucifixion, these are the non-negotiables of the Christian faith that we'll be discussing over the next coming Sundays here at the chapel. Without which any of those facets, Christianity could not exist. The Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead was the crowning achievement that forever separates him from any other religious leader that has ever walked on the earth. Or whoever will live. No other religious figure in history has ever prophesied his own death and resurrection and then accomplished it. And now, so, and I just do want to address, the majority of our gathering here this morning are people who, when you heard these verses and sang these songs, these are familiar to you. These are passages that you know, and if you've been through Easter services before, you have heard these things. But I want to specifically address anyone in our audience this morning who may be a skeptic, who may not be a believer this morning. As I have said, unapologetically, we stand on the Word of God. We trust it. We believe it in its entirety. And everything that has been said this morning and everything that will be said takes as its foundation the Word of God. And I challenge you this morning, perhaps there'll be nothing in maybe the songs or what you hear me say this morning that convinces you. Perhaps you are skeptical or cynical about the resurrection or the truths of the Word of God. My challenge for you this morning is to simply pick up a Bible and read the Word of God. There are the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These are in the New Testament, and they speak of the story of Jesus' birth, of his life, of his death and resurrection. And I encourage you and I challenge you to read the Word of God. The book of Acts also, which follows the Gospels. This tells of the apostles and how after Christ resurrected and went to heaven, how they spread the gospel, the news of that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, and the gospel spread throughout the land. I encourage you and challenge you to read those. And if you're looking for a Bible, I put a couple of them just in the back table as you're walking out this morning. And I pray that you will indeed read those things and learn of the Lord Jesus. Although we read a lot of verses and as we were going into the Lord's Supper this morning, which I also consider part one of this whole service, because for those who were in attendance, just a lovely time around the table and considering the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. But we read a number of verses and we were getting through them, and right at the end, I was like, oh, nobody read my verse. That's great. And then Travis stood up and read my verse, so it worked out well. And so just for those who are not here, I'll just read it to you again. It's from the book of Philippians, and it's just an excerpt of a verse. And it says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to speak just briefly of the power of his resurrection this morning. There was such amazing power that I cannot get into or delve into to give it the time and attention it deserves this morning, displayed in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know, and as you read that verse, you understand that that's not specifically what the verse is talking about in its context. But it is true nonetheless. To consider the Lord Jesus Christ, the one by whom and through whom all things were made. He is the creator and sustainer of all life, who called himself, referred to himself as the way, the truth, and the life, who referred in a passage we read this morning as the resurrection and the life. He is life. He embodies life. This is the one who died for us. Jesus Christ, God who became flesh, defeated death. He could say that he would raise up his own body in the third day because he, being God, had power over death. The first verses that Leonard read this morning reference the power of God in the resurrection. And this is what I want to try to draw out this morning, this power. Acts 2:24, God raised the Lord Jesus up, loosing the pains of death. And this is this wonderful part that I love, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. What an amazing truth. That, my friends, is power this morning. Power over death. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He claimed to be the resurrection himself. And as I said, so this resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, marks the first time in history that someone rose from the dead, never to die again. If you know your Bibles, you know that Jesus and other people raised others from the dead. Lazarus, we read this morning. Lazarus died again. Jesus was the only one who was resurrected, never to die again. What power is embodied in that? Jesus' resurrection was a true and total defeat of death. As the Holy Son of God, Jesus overcame death once and for all. As Peter explained, it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Jesus himself said, I am the living one. I was dead, and now, look, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is what he says in the book of Revelation. Christ's conquest over death was permanent and eternal. So, this, again, this wonderful power, the power displayed over death. Death is something that we know and have experienced to be powerful. Death is a powerful thing. We have experienced it, all of us, at one point or another, and will experience it. And yet, Christ, in his power, and his power as a creator and sustainer of life, had power over death. What a wonderful truth. And so, while that indeed was incredible and amazing, this power that Paul is speaking of in this verse, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, is more what we're thinking of this morning as the power that comes out of the resurrection. And so I want to just speak briefly about this, the power that comes from the resurrection and its implications on the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The power of his resurrection, there's four things here, and I will admit out front that these are things that I read in a commentary, a preacher by the name of Charles Spurgeon. These are his four points, and I just want to draw them out very briefly. The power of his resurrection is first an evidencing power. It is true. It is the evidence or the seal that everything that Jesus said and did was true. He said, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'll be raised again. And he completed it. Everything that he said was going to happen, happened. Our Lord's resurrection from the dead was proof that he was the Messiah, as he claimed. That he had come upon the Father's business, and he was the Son of God, and that the promise or the covenant that he made was established. A verse says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead. So the resurrection, even in and of itself, is witness to the immense power of God. To believe that the resurrection took place, to believe in the truth of the resurrection, is to believe in God. If God exists, and he created the universe and has power over it, then he has power to raise the dead. If he does not have such power, then he is not worthy, as was read this morning, of our faith and our trust. Then our faith is in vain, and our preaching is in vain. The power of his resurrection is not just evidence of who he is, but it's also a power of justification. It is a justifying power. It is receipt or proof that the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross, by him going to a cross and taking those nails, as we heard about, and the beating and the scourging and the crown of thorns and all these things that he took for us, his resurrection is proof of the sacrifice, that his sacrifice was accepted, that it was understood and accepted as payment in full for all the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. Romans 4 says that he, the Lord Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. A dead Savior cannot save. If he is still in the grave this morning, then all of his work is for nothing. But a dead Savior cannot save, but we have a living Savior who justifies us, and he is our go-between. He intercedes for us in heaven even now. God's approval of Christ's sacrifice, this is the wonderful truth for you and I this morning, is that by being raised from the dead, that was God's seal of acceptance and approval of Christ's sacrifice. And so Christ was raised for the dead, and because we who accept Christ are in him, then that carries over to us. We in Christ are justified through him, not through our own works, but through what Christ has done for one of us. So it is a evidencing power, a justifying power. Thirdly, it is a life-giving power. It means that those who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, who put their faith and trust in him simply, who are connected with Jesus, receive the same resurrection life. Now that's something that is really deep and really wonderful, and I can't even fathom the depths of some of this. But Jesus says that he came to earth, he came and he died for us, so that we all of us, might have life and have it more abundantly, or have abundant life. That is what was intended for us. Christ was the first one to permanently raise from the dead, clearing the way for a future resurrection. Christ was the first fruits, is the verse that sometimes you hear. He's the first fruits of those who died, the first one, but he's paving the way for a future resurrection so all who are in him might also have eternal life. Jesus' claim that he has the power to grant eternal life is to be trusted because he is the one who permanently conquered death. Fourthly, the power of his resurrection is for us a consoling and a comforting power. And it is a promise to us. It is a guarantee that the life that we're living here on earth, that when we pass away, that it's not just it. That we will see those loved ones who pass away again. Only the one, the creator and sustainer of life, the Lord Jesus, only he can resurrect it after death. Only he can reverse the awfulness that is the sting of death that we heard of this morning. Only he can do it. And he can gain victory over the grave. And you know, that's a comfort to me. Many know in my family, and both Andrea and my family, in the last month or so, we've had tragic, very sad losses of family members. And having listened to, I didn't get the chance to listen to Harold's funeral, but of my cousin's funeral, and hearing the message, it was a tragic thing. He was 28 years old, and yet the message from his father who gave the eulogy was sad, and of course it's sad when people die, but there was a punctuation of hope and glory because he knew, the father knew, that he will see his son again one day. And that is the hope that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and this power, this comforting power that can bring a family like that through such tragedy and loss. And I think of Barb as well, knowing that she will again see Harold one day in glory. That is the wonderful power of hope that we have because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. This is the power of the resurrection. Now, you'll notice perhaps that a lot of these things here are specifically spoken to believers who already put their faith and trust in Christ. And I read the second part of the verse first, but I need to go back to the first part. That I may know him. You see, it's the knowing him that is the critical and crucial ingredient here this morning. You cannot experience this power that I've just been speaking of if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean that not as in a way of passing, of I acknowledge his existence and his presence. This is not what I'm speaking of. To know him is a deeper, more meaningful relationship, and I will talk of that. You cannot know his power if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question to you this morning, every one of you, do you know of the Lord Jesus Christ and this power over death that I've been speaking of? Do you know of his justifying power, of his life-giving power? Do you know the comfort of assurance that when you die, that there is hope beyond the grave, that there is eternal life for you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ, that he alone has the power to save you from your sins, to grant you new life, to make you new, a new creation? He can do it. He has the power to do it. Sinner, this morning, I address you. Jesus died for you. He took the punishment for your sin. God the Father punished his Son and poured out his just wrath on sin, on his Son, for you. And Jesus died, as we have sung. Jesus died on that cross. But because he was the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, holy, undefiled, because in his death as the perfect, sinless Son of God, his death satisfied God's righteous demands and requirements in his sin-atoning death for you, God raised him from the dead. It's a wonderful, powerful resurrection that if you study it, the three parts of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each have a part in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. A wonderful, powerful truth. And it was in this action, this amazing truth, Jesus' power over sin, death, and Satan and hell, that Jesus defeated death's forces. This is the song of celebration that we sing this morning, that Jesus won. He won. Death could not defeat him. The author of life, the one who is the resurrection and the life, whoever believes in him, the Bible says, though you will physically die, we will all physically die, yet you will live. You will have eternal spiritual life in Christ. Jesus says this. And the question is, do you believe it? Do you want to have your sins forgiven? Do you want eternal life? Do you want this power that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, when that moment when you believe, you're indwelt with a power that you know nothing of? The Holy Spirit indwells the believer, and we are given that power of resurrection life. This is the promise of the Scriptures for those who believe. If you would like your sins forgiven, would you please talk to someone? Talk to maybe one you came with this morning. Talk to me. There's a simple prayer that I'll just, it's not the words in the prayer, but it's the ideas. And you can say this in whatever way you want. When I was saved, I was 7 years old. I didn't have the vocabulary. I didn't know my theology that well. I knew I was a sinner, and I knew that Jesus was the Savior, and that I needed him to be my Savior. You might say something like this: Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I have broken your commandments and fallen short of your standards. Right now, in my seat here this morning, I turn from my sin and I ask you to come into my life. I put my faith in Jesus Christ and him alone to save me from my sins. And I pray in Jesus' name. Pray something like that. It's not the words. It's the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you feel that conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning telling you that you indeed have, there's something between you and God, that you need to be made right with him. If you feel that this morning, simply by faith, reaching out to him in prayer, he will hear you and you will experience salvation. Believer in Christ, just very briefly, in the proper context, this is Paul in this verse saying, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. There is a power, a powerful life awaiting us. And I guess the question for us is, are we living that powerful life this morning? The Amplified Bible reads the verse that I just read this way. My determined purpose is that I may know him, meaning that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. May that be our prayer this morning, Christian, that we may know him more and understand him more. As a result of that I may in some way come to the knowing the power outflowing from his resurrection. May we walk in such a way, may we live in such a way that we hunger and thirst after that knowledge of him, and may then that outflow in our lives. We read the scriptures, we come before him in prayer, we commune with the God of the universe, and we receive that power as we grow to be more like him. This power is for you. Believer, unbeliever, there's power for you if you would accept it. Not just any power. It's the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at the right hand, a place of honor. Amazing power. There's a song that we often sing that has a verse that says this part. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. And later it says, until he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. We will do these Easter services for only so long. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come and we will be gathered together with him. And only those who call on the name of the Lord, only those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, will be with him. And I trust that everyone in this audience this morning will be counted on that number. May God bless you this morning.